Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired is produced in association with Jazz Times. Over the years, a few of my guests on Jazz Inspired have suggested they turn the tables and interview me about what originally made me fall for jazz and what continues to inspire my creativity. I hadn't taken anyone up on this suggestion until recently, during my residency at Radford University in Radford, Virginia. Ashley Claude, general manager of WVRU-FM at Radford, suggested she interview me on Jazz Inspired to honor our long association and WVRU's new broadcast studio. WVRU was the first station to air Jazz Inspired at Ashley's behest 22 years ago, and Ashley thought a celebration was in order, and I agreed. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired.
Well, thank you, Judy, for this opportunity to flip the script on your show today. This is quite an honor to be the one to be at the helm of Jazz Inspired.
Aw, thank you. I'm so glad you're exactly the right person for the job.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. and the reason why I wanted to do this is because, you know, your show is all over the nation, and I know you've traveled all over the world, but there actually may be people who hear you on the radio, love you on the radio, but don't realize that you are a genius musically on the piano.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to talk about your inspiration. Obviously, the inspirations that you've had, that's why you've done this show, because you're trying to find out from other people. So, of course, we need to delve into that with you, where you started. So lots of musicians, they talk about the stories that, from the first note, I knew that my future had been planned and laid out before me. And I don't think you had quite that experience with jazz. I was interested in share with us your experience.
I love you asking it that way, because in a way, I had this kind of, oh, that's what I want to do, except I was a little kid and maybe 5 years old, 6 years old, watching old movies. And so I'd see those old Fred Astaire movies, Ginger Rogers, Shirley Temple, because I lived in L.A., we had something called the Million Dollar Movie, and they would show these old movies, which, of course, are before my time, but they would show them 5 days in a row, as I remember it, I think twice a day, and I would watch all of them that I could. So I could see this, and I wanted to grow up to be in a 30s movie. And I was sure that was going to happen.
Of course.
I was going to be Shirley Temple. I learned those tunes. I wanted to take tap lessons, which I never did, but I always wanted to. And I don't know how old I was, but, you know, probably by 10 or 11, I'm figuring out I can't be in a 1930s movie. You know?
Right.
The huge trauma of my life. But it was only later when I heard my first Count Basie record, but I'd heard Frank Sinatra in the movies, I'd heard Bing Crosby. You know, I'd heard this stuff, but never thought of it as jazz. Mm-hmm. That took a long time for me to sort of figure out, to, you know, put that together, think, wait a minute, that's the jazz of that era.
Right.
That I love so much.
Just found joy. I'm as happy as a baby boy when he's playing with a choo-choo toy. When I'm with my sweet Lorraine, she's got a pair of eyes that are bluer than the summer skies. When you see them, you're gonna realize why I love my sweet Lorraine. When it's raining, I don't miss the sun, 'cause it's in my sweetie's smile. Just to think that I'm the lucky one who will lead her down the aisle. Each night how I pray that nobody steals her heart away. I can't wait until that lucky day
when I marry my Lorraine. Nobody steals her heart away. I can't wait until that lucky day when I marry my Lorraine. That'll be the day when I marry my Lorraine.
You've mentioned too that you tell people that you play jazz. Like, don't tell them I play jazz. It's swing or it's stride, you know. And then people do have misconceptions about the music that you play.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. Well, I think if anybody, you know, sort of my generation, their parents all grew up with this music. And my folks certainly wouldn't have called themselves jazz fans, but they were jazz fans.
Right.
But jazz was the popular music, so they were popular music fans. Oh. That's how they looked at it.
Sure.
But in that day, all the listeners, in a way, were more sophisticated musically, even if they weren't musicians, because they were listening to sophisticated music. So they would listen to a tune that had a modulation in it, and they could whistle that, not knowing they were modulating. But it's the original version they heard of Frank Sinatra or Joe Stafford, or one of those people do it. So my folks did talk to me about that. They were delighted. I loved the music of their childhood
right.
and what they came of age with. And we talk about it. And it did. It took me a while. I always said I wasn't. I mean, originally, I didn't know I was a jazz musician. I didn't think of it as jazz. But then later, when I was entrenched in this, I realized that people had so many misconceptions about jazz that I would tell people presenting me, don't say I play jazz, because people will have an automatic preconceived notion about it. And sadly, most thinking they don't like it.
Sure, yeah. The smoky bar,
yep.
the sounding out-of-tune instruments sometimes.
Absolutely.
Right.
And self-indulgence and all of that.
Sure.
And you don't know what happens with where the music's going. And unfortunately with jazz, I guess the good news is, like any sophisticated art form, the more you know about it, the more you can enjoy it. You can enjoy it immediately, but then listening to Louis Armstrong 20 times, that 20th time is even better than the first, even if you loved it, because it's a sophisticated form that you get more appreciation because there's more depth to appreciate. But the unfortunate part is you can hear just a little bit of jazz, and if you hear something you don't like, you think, I hate jazz, not knowing that jazz is broad, many styles, all of that. And
right.
most people don't know that.
But the very first jazz you heard, you mentioned that was in the movies, right?
Yeah.
But the first jazz that really took you to the point where, like, I can play this, I can do this, I want to play. Like, who was that person or what was that inspiration that really took you from being a fan to being a performer?
Well, Count Basie, when he was with the Benny Moten Band, so he was Bill Basie, then
right.
he wasn't even Count Basie. And I was just lucky. I hope this person who gave me this cassette is out there and knows that I have a career, because it was the second piano job I ever had. It was a bar in Newport Beach. I was known as a ragtime piano player. It was all ragtime that I memorized. I wasn't really improvising. And for some reason, this man came in. He said, I made a tape. I think you're going to love this kind of music. And he just knew it. And looking back on it, I think because I was already swinging the ragtime, not really thinking about it, I wasn't playing it really straight, he heard that in there. And that was probably in there from watching all those old movies.
Probably.
You know, that had, right. Yeah, had influenced me. And it was Count Basie with, or it was Bill Basie playing Prince of Wales with the Benny Moten Band. And it's still one of my favorite tracks. It's amazing. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. 2022 is our 22nd year on air, and to celebrate this milestone, Ashley Claude, general manager of WVRU at Radford University in Virginia, is turning the tables and talking to me about my musical inspirations. 22 years ago, Ashley took the position as WVRU's general manager, and Jazz Inspired was the first show she acquired. So her idea to interview me seemed the perfect way to honor this anniversary.
Just over the years I've known you and talked, you mentioned artists like Fats Waller, Nat King Cole, Wynton Kelly, Bill Evans, Dinah Washington, Peggy Lee, and you... Those are great names. We don't always put that in the same box. Like, what about that combination rings true to you or makes sense to you as far as your inspirations?
They're all swingers. They all swing. And swing to me is just, I mean, even somebody like Bill Evans, who's people very often think about his great voicings and his ballads and how romantic. He was still a swinger. The guy could just burn. And so I'm always drawn to that. And Wynton Kelly, it's a different kind of feeling, but they're all coming out of that, for me, that swing It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I just made that up. I'm so clever.
I'm going to write that down.
Yes, exactly. You can repeat that. You may quote me.
Thank you.
But I think that's it. I think that it was, these are all people that, for me, never played an insincere note. They're just, they hit like a Dinah Washington. I think, man, the minute she sings a note, you are with her. She grabs you and you are just there. Same with Wynton Kelly. Fats Waller had more fun than anybody, it seemed. Just so much joy. And that's what really got me in that first Basie also, was the energy, the power, the locomotion of it. And same with Fats, because a lot of stride piano that didn't appeal to me as much was when people got, oh, look how much I could do with it, because it's so mm-hmm. pianistically dense. And it would be people that used it sort of as a vehicle for showing off. Look at all these notes I'm playing, all that kind of thing. And that never seemed to be the thing with my favorites. Fats was just, he just swung hard, joyful energy, and that's why he was really a favorite.
And tasteful playing.
Yeah. And I'm glad you say that, because it is. It's really tasteful, because as much as I love stride piano and that vocabulary, it can go terribly wrong, because it's just, they throw in everything, and that's not tasteful. You know, I want it to be, to have taste. And Fats was a very elegant player. For you think of this huge man that's named Fats.
Right.
That's just attacking the piano, but he was still a very elegant player.
Been a tour musician since the 1980s, traveled the world, has a very full music career. My position is in radio. I work at Radford University. I have wonderful professors who'll come to me every once and again and will say, I would love to have a radio show. I think this is the greatest thing. I have this wonderful idea, and they'll talk to me about it. And the vast majority never record an episode because I tell them how hard it is. And the scant few of who's left will put together a few shows, and then they leave it, because it is just a lot of work. It's nice to have these conversations, but there's so much more to it than the conversations that you have. So I'm really interested to know, why in the world would you take on basically a second, full-time, difficult, time-consuming career to produce jazz inspired for 22 plus years now?
It's such a great question. Well, two things come to mind. I took it on originally because I had an idea and I thought it was important for people. I love this music, and I think it's important for everybody to tap into their creativity and be inspired. And the wonderful John Eaton, a great Washington-based pianist, dear friend, said, well, your reason for living, Judy, is to inspire people. And I never thought about it, but I thought, well, I do have a show called Jazz Inspired. But it was funny, and he made me, you know, something you can live a certain way and not even realize it till somebody reflects it back at you. And it reminded me that that is something that's always been important to me, is to inspire people to chase their dreams, to be creative, to be industrious, and produce and contribute. Contribute's right. My big word. I really think we should be getting out of ourselves and contribute outward. And I think it makes for a better life, a fuller life, a more beautiful life. And there's nothing better than creating something beautiful. And so I was interested in that conversation. And that was my original thinking on Jazz Inspired, that it would be beyond musicians. It would be all kinds of creative people. And how do professionally creative people stay inspired? And to your thought of, it is incredibly time-consuming, and there are times I think I'm just not getting to the piano enough, and I don't get to the piano enough, but it feeds me in another way because of the people I get to meet, because they're inspired. I have trouble being inspired, keeping it going, and if I'm talking to somebody else who's that way, they get me revved up. I mean, after I've taped a radio show, I always want to go practice. It's like it really stimulates me to go to the piano, and I think, I can do it. I can keep going. But I have worried at different times, am I going to still have something to talk to people about? Because you never want to be asking the same questions. Sure. You never want to have a formula. And I think that speaks to what you're saying about people think they have an idea for a show. It goes far beyond the idea. It has to be, are you genuinely interested in people? Can you stay interested in people? And is there a purpose to the show? And I find that my best guests, and since I'm the producer and I do the choosing, are the people who are interested in the bigger picture. They're also people who want to put good into the world and inspire people. So it's not just about them. So the conversation is more interesting then because it's more inclusive. At least that's how I feel when I'm approaching it that way.
So it sounds like it's cyclical, the drive, because that's what I was interested in. Like, what is the drive? Because if you're doing that much work for this long, like, what is the drive? And it's just enjoying the process, loving your work. Would you describe it that way?
Yeah, I would. And I think you have to keep loving it. And I now have just a few publicists that I have a great relationship with, one in particular that I'm thinking of, Eric Mulk, who he knows the show well, and he sends me unusual people. And he'll say, I know this is not your normal thing. He'll preface it with that. And then tell me why he thinks I would have a great conversation with that person. And so it's much that's easier than it was in the beginning when I was chasing everybody and I had to do everything to convince people. And people will suggest people to me, but I still have to be the one to find them. That's the hard part. And he will bring me these people that I think have no jazz connection, because that's my hook, that jazz has meaning to these people. So I like people that it's a surprise, like a Billy Joel. I always say, nobody thinks of him as a jazz musician necessarily. But if you think about his composing, he obviously is influenced by the standards. And he loves jazz. He's a huge jazz fan. So by Eric bringing these people, I've met some fascinating people that I would have never known to ask to be on the show. And I've really learned something. And they've taken their jazz inspiration and gone off into folk music or any number of directions, what we'd consider pop.
Right.
Not music that I would even pick up, but I learn a lot from these people. So that keeps me going. So you're right. It is this circle. But I've got to work at it too. I've got to think, who do I want on the show that's going to keep me interested after this long time, because they have to, because I'm always thinking what's interesting the audience, but they've got to keep me engaged or I can't keep the whole
thing
going.
Right. I call that feeding the beast.
Exactly. It is feeding the beast. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's the term. They're like, if you're ready to feed the beast, we will work with you on a radio show.
So. I like that a lot.
Yeah. You've cleared that. Well, good. So originally, you always say that jazz is the hook, but over 22 years, I imagine you've learned and you've evolved. And what would you say are some of the biggest or the most influential changes that you've made in producing the program for these many years?
Well, a couple of things that are funny. Coming back to Billy Joel, when I asked him to do the show, we'd met socially, and we lived near each other. And I asked him, and he said he'd do it on the condition that I would have lunch with him, that we'd do it over lunch. And we both loved lunch, and we had already bonded over saying we loved European long lunches. So sort of my funny story about it is we started like a nervous blind date, and 3 bottles of wine, and 3 hours later, we were 2 drunk musicians hanging out. All right, so it was fantastic. I loved the interview. It was loads of fun. But I realized I couldn't do that and survive. I could not spend 3 hours with people and be editing and all that. So biggest change is that I pretty much record the amount that we're going to use. I don't edit a lot. There's a little bit extra because I'm putting in music. So I shortened the process. I got better at knowing just how to keep it all going.
Sure.
With that. That was different. And then one was very interesting. I had somebody on, and it was Fred Astaire's daughter, a lovely person, and she had loads of anecdotes, of course. But she didn't give me longer answers. They were very short. They were little anecdotes. And I realized when I was editing it that I'd have to put in more music to make this work, more intercuts than I would normally do. And it wound up being a much better show. So that was an accidental discovery, because it worked that pretty much every 5-6 minutes I put in music, and I realized that that was a natural rhythmic flow of the conversation, and even if they were small inserts, and it completely changed the way I produced the show.
I'll bet.
It made it a better show.
Oh, sure. Music makes everything better. No one's
going
to argue with that.
Exactly, exactly. Young and Billie Holiday with Teddy Wilson on piano on If Dreams Come True, one of my favorite recordings early in my career. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Thank you. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Our show is made possible in part with generous support from Steinway & Sons. Additional support is provided by Jazz Times Magazine, providing entertaining and provocative coverage of the jazz scene since 1970. On the web at jazztimes.com. For a schedule of upcoming programs, visit our website at jazzinspired.com. You can listen to Jazz Inspired on your favorite podcast platform and email us at info@jazzinspired.com or visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Stride Queen. Although we broadcast on NPR stations, we're an independent production not funded by NPR. Please visit jazzinspired.com to find out how you can chip in and support us. No gift is too small. And please write a review on Apple Podcasts, which is the best way for us to entice others to listen to the show. Thanks for helping us spread the word and celebrate 22 years on air. I have a new book celebrating this anniversary called Great Inspirations, 22 years of Jazz Inspired on NPR. Go to judycarmichael.com for more information. Today, Ashley Claude, general manager of WVRU at Radford University in Virginia, is turning the tables on me and talking to me about my musical inspirations. 22 years ago, Ashley took the position as WVRU's general manager, and Jazz Inspired was the first show she acquired. Her idea to interview me seemed the perfect way for us to celebrate this anniversary.
Since we have switched the tables and you're sitting in the guest seat, I'm sure you've sat as the interviewer. You judge the guest. This was a great one. That was a horrible one. Everything in between. So now, what makes a great guest? Like, what would you know? What have you gleaned from that? That's maybe helping you well on the other side of the table today.
Well, somebody who wants to be there is engaged. And I always think about somebody who was just terrible, who I'd done as a favor for somebody, and she kept fiddling with her hair, and she kept sighing, and she kept this, and she would, every time I'd ask her something about jazz, she'd have nothing to say. And I finally just stopped, and I said, look, the show is called Jazz Inspired. We have to talk about some jazz here. And she said, I don't really like jazz very much. And that's your basic bad person who is not prepared at all, isn't paying attention. Which significantly, my most famous people have been the most prepared, have done the best job, have been all in, and they have taken very seriously. I asked people to send me their five biggest inspirational tracks or important tracks mm-hmm. to them that have really continued to inspire them or originally did something or influenced their music if they're a musician. And those people prepare. They take that as they're very serious about it. And they really get into that exercise because it's a hard exercise to get it down to five tracks. So, and then somebody like Billy Joel, I keep coming back to him because he was so impressive. He pretty much produced the show for me. He had not only the tracks that had inspired him, but his tracks that were influenced by those tracks. So he had juxtaposed these things for me and had a list. And it wasn't controlling the interview. He was just really prepared and made it easy for me.
That's great.
Which was fantastic. So, and my best guests are the ones who are fun, but are into that bigger picture, that are aware that there's an audience out there. And how can we inspire that audience who's listening to us? Instead of just me,
right.
Which I've seen those people where I will even give them one little thing for feedback and I can see them glaze over because they don't want to hear anything. They want to just talk about themselves.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
So that would be my favorites are people who come in with enthusiasm and they really are into it and engaged.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Today, to celebrate our 22 years on air, Ashley Claude, General Manager of WVRU at Radford University in Virginia, is turning the tables and talking to me about my musical inspirations. The track you hear now is of one of my favorite pianists, someone I loved early in my career and continue to love, Art Tatum. Here with Ben Webster on Have You Met Miss Jones?
You have so many gears, and we're going to switch again.
Okay, I'm down to
it. All right, there we go. So I've mentioned that I do work at Radford University in Virginia. And we've invited you several times over the years to come. And every single time, I think one time I actually tried to just book you for a gig, and you insisted that I want to speak to some classes. I want to see some students. I want to go and look them in the face. I've got things to tell them. and you're really there's something in you that is inspiring you to be an educator. Not only are you interested in talking to students, but I don't know how many of the listeners know, you've created an educational foundation called Jazz Listening for Life. And there's obviously some really great lessons there as well. But usually we have to really just twist and pull people's arms. Please come talk to our students. Please come do a class. And you're just insistent upon it. Where does that inspiration come from? Where's the drive that pushes you to take on that as well?
Well, number one, I'm disappointed that you have to twist people's arms because they should be more generous. And I'm putting it out there for all you people out there.
Thank you.
It's vital. We have to care about our young people. Everybody says they care about young people, but I don't see enough caring about our young people. And I didn't have this advantage when I was in school, in high school, well, all the way through, and college. I didn't have somebody like me come visit. And I've talked to other professional artist friends of mine, and they still remember the time that Count Basie came to their school or some painter came to their school. It was life-changing for them. And what maybe some of our listeners, unless they're in education, don't think about is that you who are here every day in the trenches, that I have so much respect for teachers, you're every single day trying to inspire these students. And that takes so much energy. I'm exhausted after I come and make a visit like this.
That's why we have to twist arms.
Yeah, well, yeah, but being less selfish, people.
Sure, right.
I mean, it's exhausting, but I know it's important. And, but this helps you because you get a fresh face who comes in. It helps the students wake up because I'm somebody new. And I can say something that you've already said 20 times. And just because I'm different, they hear it.
Right.
Or they might think, oh, so that was what she was talking about. And it gets them. And the best relationships is when you have a traveling person like me who works with the person who's there all the time. Those are my favorite relationships.
And it's very validating.
Yeah. Yeah.
From my perspective.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I take away so much that you and I have known each other now 22 years, and I've come here a number of times, and because of your openness and creativity, we've done things I've never done before. You go, well, I've got these students. We don't have this, but we have that. Do you want to do that? And I've taken that away with me because of your creativity and my openness. You know,
yes.
I went to Michigan, to university, and they messed up on the schedule. And he said, all we have are lawyers for you to see law students.
Oh, my.
And I said, let me at them. I said, I'll go teach a law class. When have I ever done that? When will I ever do it?
Right.
And it was 100 law students. And I came out and I said, buckle your seatbelt.
We
had a ball. I found out how many trial lawyers there were. I talked about performance, convincing an audience. I approached it that way. I talked about music law and what my favorite lawyers had done for me and what had been helpful. And it wound up I did have a lot to say in an hour with 100 law students. And I took that away. And who would? So that was inspiring to me because when would I ever get to do something
sure.
like that? So I think outreach and teaching and I know I'm going on, but I'm so passionate about this. I feel that when I was coming up, there weren't many universities that had jazz programs. Now there's a bunch of them that do. So we're producing so many musicians. We need to produce audience. We need to help people appreciate the arts because not only because all these musicians won't have anybody to play for if we don't have an audience.
True.
But it makes your life better. They don't all have to be professionals. Take a music class and then just do it for yourself.
Right.
You don't have to be a professional. And I think in an earlier time, that's how people felt. They knew that was important. They knew it was essential. And I think we've lost a bit of that. We need to get that back.
I brought up the foundation, Jazz Listening for Life. I'd like to talk a little bit about that, if you wouldn't mind
sharing the beginnings of
that.
Well, again, I'm passionate about that. I was, you know, that started with, I was teaching a class in Miami, and one of the students asked why young people like music so much more than older people. And I said, now that is a really interesting comment. I said, why do you say that? And he said, well, because we all have headphones on. And I said, well, I don't think that's because you like music more. I think that's because you're afraid of silence. Huh. And boy, that got their attention.
Yeah.
And it was like a gasp. And I said, I want you as an assignment to all sometime tomorrow, just be quiet for an hour. No headphones, no phone, no anything, no friends talking to, just try an hour, see if you could do it. And I mean, it kind of freaked them out.
Sure.
And so we talked about that, and that genuine listening, engaged listening, not only gives you something, but it can be a little tiring, you know, because you're really engaged. So then you enjoy that time of not talking. You enjoy that time alone. Because I think, and this is a big statement, but I think most people are vaguely disengaged at all times. So they like noise. They like this illusion that they're engaged. They like chatter. But the people that I know that are intensely engaged, have real conversations, get a lot out of it, then they love their quiet time. They love to just leave me alone.
Let me unplug.
Let me unplug. And you get more out of everything that way. And that's what we talk about in the class I take. It's foundation, mm-hmm. and I raise money for it. It's not-for-profit. And we go into schools all ages. I really like elementary schools because you get them fresh.
Right.
And we talk about listening skills, and that jazz musicians, I use them as my example because we have to listen so intently to understand where the tune is going because we're improvising and they see how we look at each other. We're not just listening. It's really, they can see it happening. And that's why I'm saying, and it makes your life better. That's why it's listening for life.
That's right.
I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. I owe a lot to Scott Joplin's composition, Maple Leaf Rag, which got me my first music gig and the three that followed. It was always my audition piece early in my career when I was primarily a ragtime pianist. Here's my favorite version, Jelly Roll Morton's. Thank you.
And we're going to try at least one more gear. You've taken on another career as an author, Judy. You have, you have a memoir, and I understand there is another book yet to come. So are there enough hours in the day? How do you do this? Where do these books come from?
Oh, gosh. You know, years ago, I was asked to write for a music magazine, and they wanted me to write simplified stride arrangements, which was really boring for me. So I started writing Little Adventures of the Road and the Little Stride Arrangements. And that was really much more interesting to me. And they became very popular, these articles. And then they wound up giving me a whole page a month. And I stopped doing, then I wrote a music book. So we skipped the simplified stride. So I got out of that, which I didn't want to do. But I love writing. And then I decided, everybody kept saying, you should have a memoir. And so I decided I would write this as a way to give, I hoped, real insight into an artistic life, not just mine, but to make people smarter about what really goes on in pursuing this. I mean, it's a funny book. You've read it, you know.
Right, right.
And, but it's also serious, but it talks about how an artist is thinking and what they're doing without making it grand, because people seem to either be overwhelmed and too admiring of it, because artists aren't any more special than anybody else. They're just doing something different and they're devoting their life to it. You know, if they're a great person, that's special.
Right, right.
That's a different thing. And I wanted people to have some insight into that. And the next book, which will be out, I'm hoping, this fall, is celebrating 22 years of Jazz Inspired. And I took I took 44, so it's 22 years and 44 people that I felt had the biggest meaning for a lot, that they'd have a broad meaning for a lot of people who read the book, of my interviews. And so it's all the way from Seth MacFarlane to Neil deGrasse Tyson to Glenn Close to, you know, it's really interesting that way. Some people won't know immediately unless they're jazz fans, but not all jazz musicians. And then I wrote these, which was really fun for me, the intros of the chase for the people, because I wasn't produced by NBC or CBS. I didn't have a big muscle behind me to get these people. You know, if you call and you say it's an interview for NBC, people, you know. And it was just an interview with me. And so the chase is pretty funny, how I've gotten these people, because they're always in person until recently with the pandemic when I started doing it online. So there's a story, and there's always a backstory, and like a longer thing about my lunch with Billy Joel, or whether it's hanging out in Seth MacFarlane's living room, which his people couldn't believe I insisted on doing it in person because Seth's so busy. And so there's some fun things like that.
Sure.
Fun things like that. And that's what it's about, in the creation of the show. So I'm very excited about it.
Okay, yeah, because the insider look.
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah. Okay, I've heard you talk about it, but I haven't asked too in depth about what it comes about.
So I talk a bit about getting it started, how I got it started, and but it's these interviews distilled down, because on the radio show, of course, it's there's music in it and everything like this, but this is just the parts of these interviews that I thought had the biggest meaning in terms of inspiration, insight into these people, because you've got 44 extremely accomplished, extremely intelligent people talking about what inspires them. I mean, that in itself is pretty deep.
It's powerful.
Yeah, it is powerful.
Yeah, definitely. I was interested because you mentioned earlier that you pretty much air the entire interview.
No.
It sounds like your cutting room floor is empty. And I was like, well, what else does she have to say? So I'm glad to hear that.
Yes. No, these are distilled down a bit from, okay. Yeah. Because they'll be talking about, on the show, they talk about specific music. Mm. And so in this, we don't have as much of that, of course, because we're not playing the tracks. So they're kind of an epitome of the conversation.
So from all your, the 22 years of doing this show, what has been your biggest takeaway? What's the biggest reward that you've reaped from doing the show all these years?
Other ways of being inspired. Because I think that's the challenge for a professionally creative person. But I won't even say professionally. I think it's a challenge for everybody in life. How do you keep your life interesting? How do you keep a marriage interesting? How do you keep it all How do you stay fresh and stay engaged in life and excited about life? I remember it was a shock for me when I got out of college, because when I was in college, everybody was excited. They were all going to conquer the world. So I thought everybody was that way. And then when I got out in the world, I thought, God, there's a bunch of slugs. These people aren't excited. I mean, it was a shock.
Right, right.
I was that naive.
These jaded, cynical people. Where did they come from out of nowhere?
Where did they come from? Yeah, or don't they want to conquer the world too? So that's been great to talk to all of these intensely intelligent people who have thought a lot about this, that have really helped me. They've given me juice. Like I say, I always want to run to the piano after I've done it. I'm tired right. after I've done it, but I always run to the piano because these people are so excited about what they do. And if they're not, they shouldn't be on the show. You know, like I say, that rare person that I think, well, that was not fun.
Right.
Then I know it's not going to be fun to listen to.
That's right.
So, but yeah, I'd say that's the biggest thing is keeping me inspired. They jazz inspire me.
I like that. I like that.
See how clever that was?
Yeah, you should be on the radio, Judy. That's wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
We'll tell you what, Judy. We have a piano in another hall that we will take. I'm sure that you've had a wonderful time and that we will take you to a piano right now because you've just finished the show and you're jazz inspired, so let's get you that piano and let's get you going.
Oh, this is fantastic. Listen, this is so wonderful. Thank you, Ashley, so much for doing this.
I've been so honored, Judy. You have no idea. This is such a thrill for me, and thank you 1,000 times over. What an honor. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you. You've been listening to my conversation with Ashley Claude, General Manager of WVRU-FM at Radford University in Virginia, who interviewed me today about my jazz inspirations. I hope you'll join me here next time when I talk with another creative person about how jazz inspires their life and work. I'm Judy Carmichael, the host and producer of Jazz Inspired. My production engineer is Curtis Heidolf. You can listen to Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired on all podcast platforms and at jazzinspired.com. Our opening music was Airmail Special, and the mid-break music is a smooth one from my CD, High on Fats and Other Stuff. The closing music is Old Fashioned Love from my CD Trio. I'm on piano with Mike Hashem on sax and Chris Flory on guitar. Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired is sponsored in part with generous support from our listeners and Paige at 63 Main in Sag Harbor, New York, serving organic microgreens and vegetables grown on their own energy-efficient indoor and outdoor aquaponic farms. Better taste, happier planet. Visit Paige at 63 Main at opentable.com. And please tell your friends about Jazz Inspired and help us spread the word. For more information, visit jazzinspired.com or judycarmichael.com.